peace and prayer, or the spirit witnessing, you know. We're going to try to deal more. You know, we've been covering perseverance for a few weeks. We've been covering the will of God, how to hear from the Lord. We've been covering having our mind renewed. So some of the scriptures, like I say, you'll find in this last five or six lessons, you'll see some of the same scriptures come up because, again, they're so intertwined. You know, we'll see the will of God has a lot to do with a renewed mind, with not being selfish, with knowing God's word. So, you know, it's not this just grabbing scriptures out of the bag and running with it like so many people do, that we want to rightly divide the word. And so when we pray, we'll be on a sure foundation, like John says, and then we will know that God hears our prayers. And he will edit our prayers, and he will give us wisdom, and we'll know how to pray more effectively. So before I continue on, Barbara, you want to open us in prayer?
Father, we just come to you tonight, Lord, with expectant hearts to hear what you have for each of us, Lord. We just ask that your spirit would anoint Ron. Your words would be his words, Lord. And you would just take charge of his teaching right now, Lord. And Lord, just prepare us to receive that which you have for each of us. Lord, we're hungry for you. We're hungry for your word. We're hungry to know more about prayer, to move into a deeper, more intimate relationship with you, Lord. And prayer is our communication with you. So we just thank you for this time, this privilege we have of coming together to learn about your word and about our relationship with you. We just ask you to bless this time, Lord, and be glorified in Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay, several scriptures. We covered last week Philippians 4, 7 and 8, or 6 and 7. We're going to start with verse 7 again. Remember we talked about supplication and intercession last week. And then above all, we're going to talk about, we're going to get into peace now, you know, of the Spirit's witness. We're not necessarily going to get into many avenues of how God speaks because we know God can speak to us in many ways. But we're going to start at the foundation. The two basic ways, you know, we're talking about everyday ways. You know, God speaks in the out of the ordinary when it's necessary. But we're, you know, for important things, that's important to the Lord, not necessarily important to us. When it comes to ministry, when it comes to our callings, our place in the body, when it comes to suffering for the gospel, or things like this, often God will do things out of the ordinary because it's required. We need an extra gracing, an extra enabling. But we're dealing also with the everyday. We're going to deal with the two basic everyday ways that God deals with the Christian, you know. And we want to learn, you know, our renewed mind. We talked about, first of all, a quick review. We have to be in the covenant. We have to be born again. So we covered that. We have to be in Christ Jesus and he in us. Now, that's the foundation. Then we went into the Lord's Prayer. We must find out what the will of the Lord is. We're to pray his will. So everything that we pray, even for ourselves, our ministries or anything, must fall under that umbrella. If not, you can be sure God is not going to answer it. Remember we talked about God does not answer selfish prayer. He's not in the habit of doing it. Because he is not a self-seeking selfish person, and he does not expect Christians to be that way. So we talked about, you know, not only lordship, but this is where the cross life comes in, you know. And this is where 95% of most Christians pray and stops because they begin to realize that God isn't out to make them rich, healthy, wealthy, and prosperous 24 hours a day the rest of their life. That he has a will, and he has desires, and we're his, and we're bought with a price, and we're not our own. And he has his own purposes and agenda, and we're to fall in line with him. And then we talked about delighting ourselves in the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. And we said, hey, that sounds good. And most people grab that scripture and run with it. You know, well, if I just delight myself in the Lord, I can get anything I want. So we study that to delight yourself in the Lord. Isaiah said this is to delight yourself in the Lord, not speaking your own words nor finding your own pleasure. You can't be a selfish person. So your desires cannot be selfish. They must be in line with God's will. And then we talked about having wisdom. We'll get back into that. If we don't know what God's will is, Scripture says what? You're foolish. It says don't be foolish, but knowing the will of the Lord. So it shows us our responsibility to pray and seek God's will. And then James says, and if you lack wisdom, ask for it. So that's one of the first things we ask in praying and finding God's will is wisdom. Now, what is wisdom? What is a simple definition for wisdom?
Knowledge, understanding.
Okay, basically simple. Knowledge means to know. So basically wisdom means the proper use of knowledge. It's one thing to have knowledge. All of us have knowledge. Paul says knowledge puffs up. All of us has knowledge and knowledge of God's word. But it's to use it properly and put it together is where wisdom comes in. So even the gift of wisdom. Remember, the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge were gifts. Word of knowledge basically tells you facts. A word of knowledge could tell me that one of you here is living in fornication. That's just knowledge. Wisdom would tell me what to do about it. Tell you a little story about what happens to people who are living in fornication. Directly, indirectly. See, God has his means. He knows the person. He knows the situation. He knows whether to go at him with a hammer. He said, what? My word is a hammer and a fire. Or he knows how to prick their conscience indirectly. See, again, that's why we need to learn to be led of the Lord. He knows the situation. You know? So we not only need knowledge, we need the proper use of knowledge. And this is wisdom. Wisdom comes from communing with God. We're not talking about the word of wisdom now, or the gift. Or the gift of word of knowledge, or discerning. We grow in wisdom, knowledge, and discernment as we study God's word, and as we learn to submit to the Holy Spirit. So this is something we grow in. We learn to be more discerning. You don't need the gift of discerning the spirits to pick out many false teachers and prophets. If you know God's word, that would cover 95% of it right there. So you wouldn't really need a gift. You just need to know God's word and foundation, and you can judge what's going on. Is this doctrine of God or not? But see, the gift gives clarity. God has a reason. It's him imparting his knowledge, bypassing our own. So when we're talking about the supernatural gifts, they're basically, we're merely channels. God's given us a bit of his information. Something we don't learn, something we've not acquired. You know, something we need for the moment. Okay? So we're talking about this in prayer. So at times, God can give us a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom to answer us. I find it more so when I'm interceding, when God has me more in the ministry of intercession, then I have to have certain facts at times that I cannot acquire any other way. You know, for me to pray effectively or to know how to pray more sometimes, I have to have certain facts. And often God will give you certain facts, but he won't give you no more. See, again, God's not a tattletale. He'll tell you things about people at times, but it's not for you to blab, you to be arrogant about or puffed up. It's for prayer. It's to be able to pray effectively and to know a certain situation, what's going on. So we see why it's important that we be led of the Holy Spirit. So we're seeing then in prayer. We said prayer is what? It's communication with God. We're in constant communication with the Lord. You know, that's what it means to walk in the Spirit. That's what it means to pray without ceasing. It's communion. But we obviously have to have times that we set aside to seek God. And seek him earnestly. Remember, we talked about the persevering. At times, it's going to take us hours and days, and sometimes months and years, to see the answers to certain things we're praying. And we have to persevere. And we have to have faith. Next week, maybe we'll cover warfare. We'll see how the enemy gets in and hinders our praying. You know. So, see, praying is not just talking to God and telling him what's on our mind. The spirit realm has rules and principles. And unless we learn how to be led of the Spirit, we're just playing a guessing game. We're playing a wishing game. Well, God, do this for me. God, do that. And you may waste 10 years of your life praying for something that if you knew God's mind and word, you would waste your time asking. He'd already tell you it's not going to be done because it's not his will. See, we could clarify a lot of things if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and we know his word. But it's just not knowledge. See, lots of Christians have knowledge, but the reason they don't hear from the Lord and the Lord doesn't deal with them is there's disobedience in their life. Remember, we talked about that. Our sins separate us from fellowship with God, and he doesn't talk to us. He's only interested in one issue, getting right. All of the other things we're praying about is irrelevant to God. You know, so see, we need to see it's a light. And we said the important thing of prayer is what? It's to get God, to move God to do what he would not otherwise do if we don't pray. So we talked about there's many things that God would do and reveal to us if we meet the conditions. Otherwise, he won't do them. He's put us in a powerful position to be used of Him or not to be. And see, just to say, well, whatever God wills, He'll do, is not scripturally sound. The Bible says what? That most people are dying, going to hell, yet Scripture already says what? It's not God's will that any perish. But the Scripture says that most are. Is God's will being done? No. He says, I find no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that they turn and live. But many are not. So we can see God's will is not being done, is it? But we're to pray what? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So who's going to do it? We're going to be the means that God uses on the earth. He's the head, we're the body. He is only going to work through His body here on earth. And we, and our prayer life and communion is the means. We are the temple. And wherever we go is the kingdom of God. It's not going to be anywhere. It's not in a relic. It's not in a building. It's going to be in us. Those who are born again and who submit to the Holy Spirit. What does it say? These are the sons of God or daughters. Those who are led of the Spirit. So it's a lifestyle. We're talking about a lifestyle. A walk. Not just praying when you're in trouble. That's an insult to God. It'd be an insult to anybody or any friend if you never call them, but every time you need something from them. And that's why many Christians don't get answers. God's not interested in their problems. He's interested in getting right with Him. What's important to them is not important to Him. See, they're caught up in this world. God's not caught up in this world. They love this world and the world system. And when they get in a jam, they want God to help them in their world system, and God is not about to do it. See, again, we're in another system. We have to live in this world, but we're not of this world. And He said, if we love the world system, the love of the Father is not in us. He makes it very plain that we are enemies of God. So see, again, when it comes to praying, we can see why it's so important that we pray each day, that we stay in tune to the Holy Spirit, that we don't allow sin and the enemy to lure us away and throw little things in there to hinder our prayer walk. Bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, sin, lust, anything that will draw us away from our walk in the Lord. Why? Because these things hinder not only our relationship with the Lord, they hinder God answering things. It puts a stop to many things. So again, many people are asking, and many Christians are asking things from God, and they're wasting their breath. Even God in Scripture said what? He said that He would make heaven brass to them. What is brass and bronze? It meant hardness. He was saying your prayers will hit a wall and come right back down. Because your sins have separated you, and I'm not listening. Now, see, we talked about God always hears everything, but He's not hearing to answer. See, that's the point. He says, is my hand, what, shortened that it cannot deliver? He says, no, but your sins have separated you from your God, and He will not hear. So, see, we got over into John. We have to keep a pure heart, a clear conscience. Because why? Because when there is sin in our life and we're not dealing with it, it's hard to exercise faith. Because your conscience will smite you. And John says, if our heart does not condemn us, we shall ask what we will. And it shall be done. See, there's where the faith comes in. So we're going to deal tonight with peace. We talked about the conscience before. But it's the peace of God that keeps our conscience right. Keeps our conscience checked. And if our conscience is right, and we're obeying the Lord and walking with Him, we should have peace. If not, we need to examine things and see what's going on. Okay, so the first scripture, Philippians 4:7, the second part. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now notice, first of all, the scripture says so much about peace that we're not going to elaborate on it. But the kingdom of God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. A right relationship with God produces peace. A wrong relationship does not. It's very simple. And Jesus said, I will give you my peace that the world cannot give, nor can the world take. So it's from another's kingdom. It's a relationship with, we can have turmoil and trouble all around us and conflict, but we can have peace with God and know that everything's okay between Him and me. And God said, I pray the God of peace will sanctify you completely, that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. See, when we're in that state, when we're blameless, we're not talking about perfection. When we're walking in the light that God's given us and we're not willfully sinning against the Lord, then you should have peace. That's a form of sanctification. You should have peace of mind and peace of soul. You should be able to lay down at night without a radio or television on and dead quietness, and your conscience should not smite you. And if it does, then you need to deal with it. See, a lot of Christians don't have peace because they are walking in the world. They're not communing with the Lord. They're restless, you know. And God said His yoke was easy and light. So if we're under condemnation, if we're restless, then we need to examine what's wrong with me. And if it's not me, is it the enemy? Then I need to know how to deal with the enemy. I need to know how to deal with the accuser of the brethren and deal with the liar. So we're going to have to do these things. God is not going to do it for us. You can go around in circles as long as you want. God has given us certain principles to work by, and we must do it. He said, you put on the new man. He didn't say He was going to do it. He said, and we'll cover a scripture tonight about the peace. But notice what He says, the peace of God which passes what? Understanding. Okay? So when we enter into peace, we can have peace and rest with the Lord. Yet we don't have to have understanding of a lot of things that goes on. See, a lot of times God's will is, He does not tell us facts. And see, this is where Christians get in trouble. We want wisdom, but we want earthly wisdom. We want God to explain to us everything He's doing. He's not about to do it. The wisdom from above, we're going to find, is different. It's a spiritual wisdom, but it's a knowing. It's an intuition. And it sometimes can't be explained. You just experience it. You know? And see, it's a different realm we're dealing with. So He says it bypasses all understanding. You just have it and you know it. It's the same as when people are born again. The Spirit bears witness. We're going to talk about that. And you can explain to them everything, and you can quote scripture, and all they know is something happened. And they're aware. Everything's okay. So that's why it's for the simple. You don't have to be a brilliant intellectual. You don't have to be a professor to understand the things of God. Actually, these people have a harder time because it's a different realm we're dealing with. That's why simple people, everyday people, can walk in the spiritual realm. When brilliant professors cannot, because their mind gets in the way. They won't come God's way. They will try to analyze everything that God does, and God will not allow them to do it. They won't find Him out. He says He will take the wise in their own craftiness. Didn't Jesus say it? He said, oh Father, He said, I thank Thee, Lord of heaven and earth. He said that You reveal these things to the simple and have hid it from the wise. He said, for even so it was marvelous in Your eyes. So God is saying what? You don't have to be brilliant. You know, it's average people God's after. He's not looking for your scholarly wisdom. He's not looking for anything you got. You have nothing that you can add to God. Your good looks doesn't impress God. Your money, your influence, He don't need it. He doesn't need it. He will use anything, but He don't need it. It's not an asset to Him. Often He has to make people get rid of these things because they're a hindrance. And if not, they must be given over to Him. They must go to the cross. They must go and be put on the altar before He can use it. You know? And so we see this, you know. God has nothing against wisdom, money, influence, if it's channeled right and if it's under His control. Otherwise, He don't need it. He says, you know, don't boast in these things. He doesn't need these things. Okay. So what is it to do? The peace of God is to what? Is to God. What's a God?
Your heart.
Yeah, but what is a God? What do you do when you guard something?
Defend it.
You defend it. You protect it. So we're going to see this. Why? Because later on in next week or so, we're going to see, because the enemy is going to go at this peace. He's going to challenge your peace with God by condemnation, conviction, lies, deceit. And if you do not know God's word, and if you're not obeying the Lord, He will succeed very well in defeating you and robbing you of anything that God's given you. He's a master at it. And we have to learn how to deal with the enemy. So He says, we're to what? Let the peace of God rule our hearts and minds. The word heart here again, spirit. Our spirit, our innermost being, our minds, our will, our personality. Use what word you want here. But you see, it's the peace that is to guard us. And that's why the enemy does his utmost to go at that. For the kingdom of God is in all joy, peace, and righteousness. You'll see this word used constantly in Scripture. Peace is to be at rest with God. Remember Hebrews. We have entered into the Sabbath. What did the word Sabbath mean? A rest. We as Christians are not into observing days. We're not under the bondage of Sunday or Saturday or any day. We have entered an eternal rest. We're in the rest now. You know? But it's peace He's talking about. peace with God. This is what the blood of Christ did. This is what the cross has done. It's reconciled us with God through Jesus Christ. He is our peace. And He wishes to impart His peace in us and through us. And then we know everything's right between us and God. See, that gives us assurance. That's where faith comes from. Faith is the assurance. It's hard to exercise faith when you're not right with God. When we talked about this, it's hard for a child to go up and ask his parents, you know, for a favor when he's not done his chores. He's very uncomfortable. Because usually the parent's going to say, did you do what you would? No, well then you don't get this. You know, and God's like that. You know, we cannot skirt God. He has a way of going right to the heart of matters always. You know, we cannot skirt Him when He's ready to deal with certain issues in our life. Okay, so the peace of God is important. Okay, someone turn to James 3, 17 and 18. Would you raise your hand, and then I'll give someone else another scripture so you won't have to read all of them yourself. Who wants to read James 3, 17 and 18?
Okay.
All right, Jerry. Colossians 3, 15, Paul. Romans 8, 16, Andrew. 8, 16. You don't have a Bible. Did y'all hear this, everybody? Okay, I'll tell you what that scripture is and you can remember it. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. Can you remember that much? Okay, then that's all you have to remember. Okay. So Andrew did not come with his sword, so he's already in trouble. Okay, James. Who's got James? Paul? Jerry. Now notice, first of all, before he reads this, the key word I want you to get here is not only wisdom. We're talking about godly wisdom. But remember peace here. Peaceable. Okay, go ahead, Jerry.
The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy.
Okay. Now notice here, we're talking about wisdom and peace. So we said, what? Wisdom? He said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. But then he also says, but let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. Because James makes it very plain. For he that doubts, he says, don't think you will get anything from God. Saying what? You will not. But see, again, unless our conscience is right and we have peace, it's difficult to believe that God's going to give us wisdom instead of a rebuke. You know, if this thing's wrong. Okay, so what does he say then? The wisdom from above is pure. Why is it pure? Because it's coming from God. And every good gift that comes from God is pure. He doesn't give any tainted, sinful, selfish gifts. It's not in his nature to do this. He cannot do this. He can send the enemy to give you a foul gift to judge you, but he cannot give them of himself. Why? Because it's his nature to be pure. He has no evil gifts in themselves. But what does he say? It's pure, then peaceable. So what we're going to find here in prayer is, when we're praying, that when we're seeking God over certain things, the number one thing you need to find out is, after you've done everything else, do you feel peaceful about it? Because see, you're going to find this is a major guide for us day to day. Because many things, we're going to be led by the Lord, and it's not going to be a clear do this and do that. You know, in our everyday work and stuff, we don't have time to stop every 5 minutes and, okay, God, what is this? You know, and wait for a clear word. We're going to have to learn to move by our spirit. And I use the word intuition. It's a spiritual knowing. You just know or sense, another word is sense, that this is the right thing to do. And you feel peaceable. You sense peace. But you may not have understanding. And see, this is the normal way for Christians to be led. So everything that comes to us, as far as God's will and wisdom, we must test it by, are we peaceful about it? And you learn as you walk with the Lord that certain things agitate you and you don't know why. Certain things that are not wrong in themselves. Example, suppose you're supposed to go meet somebody for dinner or you're supposed to meet somebody after work. And as you get more sensitive to the Lord, for some reason you get a check. We use a check. You just don't feel comfortable. You don't know why. You have no real reason not to go, and yet for some reason you sense, I'm not supposed to do this. And see, this is what the Lord does. He guides us often this way, or He does the reverse. He has us to call somebody that normally we wouldn't call. We just sense this is right. So see, this is often a way He guides us from day to day. You know, But again, if we get sense, if our conscience is pure, and we are sensitive and in tune to the Holy Spirit, He checks that. But remember, when He does this, He doesn't explain things. See, our problem is we want Him to explain to us everything He's doing, and God will not do it. Because it will do away with faith and trust, and it is not God's way. He wants us to learn how to trust Him and what He gives us. He will give us enough light to walk in and no more. And we must walk in that. And if we need clarification, if we need something extra, God decides this. But if we are not obeying and walking at the level He's already given us, He is not going to give us any more. You know, because any more becomes unbelief. God does not show us things and give us things to satisfy unbelief. He does not respond to unbelief. But He confirms trust. And when we walk in the peace that He's given us, when it's needed, He will reaffirm it, confirm it, or give us something else when it's needed. But not to tickle our intellect. And He does not open up the blueprints to us and show us things. That is not God's way. See, because it does away with faith and trust. And that's not God's way for us. But it's a different way. It's a more sure way. And see, the danger is we want to analyze what God's doing. And He has to laugh at us because He's not going to allow us to do it. And see, you'll feel peaceful about doing certain things when your logic and your mind will be contradictory and it will be stupid. Your friends will tell you it's stupid. You'll say to yourself, this is stupid. But something inside you says, but this is right. And see, we need to learn. See, that's where the conscience comes in. Whatever is not of faith is sin. It's better to follow your conscience. You know, even if you're wrong, if your conscience has only that amount of light, then go with it. Go with it. Don't fight against your conscience. If your conscience has not been enlightened and you don't know the scripture too well on certain issues, then obey your conscience. Because the Holy Spirit is going to use your conscience as an analog. But see, as you study the scripture, your conscience gets enlightened. This is the renewing of the mind. That's why some Christians, it's a sin for them if they don't go to church on Sunday. Because Sunday is a holy day to them, to most Christians. It's not to me. See, because I believe I have the knowledge that every day is the same. I'm not under that. But I'm not going to tell other Christians, hey, you don't have to go. Because unless they see that and they perceive what the scripture's saying, it's sin for them not to go to church on Sunday. You see? Because their conscience tells them they must go. So see, that's why Paul said, hey, don't let cause someone else stumble because of your liberty. Drinking of wine. You know, many Pentecostals, Baptists say it's a sin to drink any kind of thing with alcohol in it. I don't like alcohol. I don't drink it. Don't care for it. But scripturally, when Jesus made His first miracle, He made wine. It was not grape juice. He had no problem with it. He had a problem with the abuse and the misuse of it. But see, if a Pentecostal brother, a Baptist, if it's a sin for them and they can't drink wine, I'm not going to tell them, oh, you can drink it and quote scripture to them. See, if they're not open and they don't really see it and their heart keeps telling them this is wrong, then it's wrong for them. And if they drink it, the Holy Spirit will condemn them or convict their heart. And they have sinned before the Lord, even though we know it's right. You see? That's why I said, whatever is not of faith is sin. So it's important that we study the Word. And as we follow the Lord, He enlightens our mind. He renews them. Then we see what? See, I found one thing about Christianity. False Christianity always binds people with legalism. Always. But when the Spirit's moving, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Not license. See, that's the two dangers that our own mind fights with. The enemy tries to drag us to legalism, or he tries to drag us to greasy grace. And see, as we follow the Spirit, we're on a narrow path. We won't get sidetracked. We're not under legalism, but we don't have a license to sin. We cannot sin. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, there should be lightness, liberty, freedom. Where there's not, then we need to check it out. And see, is something wrong with my conscience? Or am I in sin? Or is the enemy putting a trip on me? You know, and as we learn the Holy Spirit and His Word, we'll be able to discern what's going on. And this is the main purpose of prayer, is constant praying and being in tune to, because He can check us then. But you have not because you ask not. Sometimes we need to say, hey Lord, I need discernment here. You know, I've got to deal with this certain person and I don't know whether you're in it. And we need to make it a matter of prayer. You know. and feel peaceable about what we're doing. If not, don't do it. Don't ever presume on the Lord. That is not faith. It's presumption. And God does not honor presumption. You know. So again, it's better sometimes not to do something. Leave it alone until God clarifies it, especially on important issues. You know. And we learn sometimes by our failures and experiences. It's better to listen to our intuition sometimes than to reason with our mind. Because the enemy will reason with your mind. He can be very logical. And our own logic can enter in there. Well, this sounds good. And yet something keeps saying, you better not do this. You know, better off to go with your conscience and be sure than to go and take a chance. That is not God's way. Presumption. We should pray until we know if it's that important. Otherwise, don't bother God about it. Go ahead and do it and suffer the consequences. And He allows the law of reaping and sowing to come in. Why? Because it teaches us. This is where the chastening of the Lord comes in. Oh, you don't want to listen this way, then we'll let you go and do this. And when you're burnt, you learn lessons. So see, again, God's a great economist. He doesn't waste anything. We often learn by our failures that it's better to listen to what the Lord's saying, even if He doesn't see fit to explain it to us. Okay, so we're seeing that God's will and wisdom always has to be peaceable. Doesn't mean there's not conflict. Doesn't mean that you may not be in tribulation or affliction or warfare. But there's an inner peace that God gives. Why? Because wherever the Holy Spirit is peaceful. Wherever Jesus is peaceful. He is made unto us peace. That's why the martyrs could die very peacefully. Not that they were not in pain, and not that they weren't under tribulation, but they were in a different kingdom, and they understood this. Okay, Colossians 3:15.
Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts.
Right there. Okay. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. There's a key here. We're talking about peace again. What does the word let mean?
Allow.
Who's responsible here? You are. It didn't say God's going to make the peace of God rule in your heart, does it? It says allow it. Jesus said the same thing. Allow the peace. Let the peace of God rule. So it shows we have responsibility that we can allow it or we can refuse to. The choice is ours. Okay. But he says, allow the peace of God what? To rule. One word here is to umpire, to arbitrate. You know? It's like a judge. So what is he saying? Where does it to rule? In your spirits. Okay. In your innermost being. Allow it to have leadership, is what he's saying. When all else fails, when all else you don't know what to do, go with peace. You know, if facts are contrary, or they're up and down or vacillating, or your logic tells you one thing, lay it aside. Go right back to peace and let it have the final say-so. And if you don't feel peaceful, don't do it. Over the 24 years I've been a Christian, I've refused communion maybe 5 times. Because I had unforgiveness towards someone. And I didn't care that 300 and 220 people were looking at me. I'm not going to drink judgment to myself and be chastened of the Lord. So I refused it. And if I was not willing at that moment to clear that up and get that right with this person in my heart, then I'm not going to drink damnation to myself. So my spirit says, hey, you have no peace in this. You better not drink it. And I would say to myself, that's right. I still am bitter toward this person. So it's better to go, you know, but I've known people who tell me this, that they've got sin and known sin and rebellion and bitterness, and they took communion, and they said, well, I didn't want nobody to think that I wasn't spiritual. Well, God sure didn't think they were spiritual, and he said they could drink sickness to their self, poison. And he said, and Paul said, for this reason, many of you are sick and die. And that's something, because of a little pride. I'd put my hand over my mouth and hold back, wouldn't let nobody give it to me. See, again, that's what the enemy does. What are these other people going to think? What does it matter? God sees your heart. We're going to stand before the Lord. All these other people, many of them are going to be in hell. Their opinion ain't going to mean nothing. It's Him we're going to stand before. See, that's why in our private prayers, in communion, we need to be often with the Lord because we're less likely to be hypocrites with the Lord. When we pray publicly, you know, it sounds real wonderful and everything, but do we pray that way privately? You know? So we need to be careful. Because it's hard to be a hypocrite when it's just you and God talking. He's not impressed with your form your mannerisms or anything else about you. He goes right to the what? The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between spirit and soul, bone and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart, motive, intent. See, when we're praying and we're honest with the Lord, you don't have to wait too long. If there's anything wrong with you, between you and the Lord, He has a way of getting right to it, doesn't He? You don't have to go searching. I know many times when I go to pray and I'm bitter towards somebody, something's entered in that day, I don't have to say, "Search me, Lord, and see whether there be any wicked way in me." I mean, you're staring me right in the face. I don't have to do no searching. You know, and He said it has to be dealt with before you can go on. Or you cannot go on and deal with God over issues. He won't allow you to. See, the Spirit, that's why He's likened as to a dove. He's gentle, but He's disturbed easily by what? Sin. Whenever there's sin and rebellion, the Holy Spirit removes Himself, His gentleness. Then He comes in fire later on, with a hammer. See, but that's what He's likened to, gentleness. But He's easily grieved by sin. He's quenched by sin. That's why the Scripture teaches that we're to be very careful, that we're to sanctify the Lord's presence. Be very careful in God's presence, because He's easily, and I've seen this happen in many meetings, when someone gets up and rattles on and on and get out of the Spirit, and all of a sudden you're just aware that God's no longer here anymore. See, the Holy Spirit sort of flew the coop. You know, people got into the flesh and they got into the pride and the little games and the little sex. He just leaves. And we have to be careful He doesn't do this to us, you know, when we're praying. Okay, so we're to allow the peace of God. We are to do this. We're to put off the old man. Put on the new, which is created in righteousness and peace. So peace is a major part of the gospel. Often the apostles would introduce their letters with, "May the God of grace multiply grace and peace unto you." Constantly you're hearing this. You know. Okay. Romans 8:16. Andrew.
The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God.
Okay. Now, so the two main things we're interested in is letting the peace of God rule and the Spirit's witness. In this particular scripture, He's talking about when those who are born again, the Spirit bears witness. They know. I knew when I was 16 and I said the sinner's prayer listening to a radio program. I knew something happened. I could not explain it. I didn't know that much about religion or God. But I meant in my heart, and I seen for the first time that I was a sinner. And I said the simple sinner's prayer from my heart, and something changed immediately. And I sensed a lifting. It was physical to me. That's the only way I can explain it. Something happened. And I knew that I knew that I knew, but if you was to ask me to explain any of it, I told you nothing. See, that's the Spirit bearing witness. You just know. Don't take great, you know. And we've talked about this before. When you study Paul, and you start getting deep in there, and he starts talking about reconciliation and adoption, you know, and that we're the sons of God. He gets into some of these legalistic terms, and some of them it took me a long time to figure out what they meant. But I already had it. I just didn't understand it. So often we experience things before we have understanding. We still don't fully understand what it means when we're redeemed. We could debate this for issues for years. What does it really mean? How are we adopted? What did God do legally? How much did He do? You know, how was justice taken care of? Who did He buy us from? The devil? From sin? From Himself? You know, we can get into all these legal terms and go on and on and on, and they're interesting. But the important thing is what? To have the experience. You know, you buy the car, then you figure out how it works. You know, then you look into all the little stuff in there. And see, that's how it often is in spiritual things. We experience it first, and then we have understanding. See, often that's the way of faith often. That's where we talk about speaking in tongues. It has its place. It says we speak in mysteries and our spirit speaks to God and prays in mysteries. But it says, but our understanding is unfruitful unless God gives interpretation. I've prayed in tongues at times for 3 and 4 hours. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't do this often. And yet I was aware something was going on and not know one iota what I was saying. But there was peace and the Holy Spirit was present and it went on. And when it lifted as if it never happened. And I understood something moved and something went on in the spirit realm. But my understanding was unfruitful. And God didn't see fit to explain it to me. It was none of my business. If it is our business, He tells us. So see, again, we need to be available to the Lord. You know, We don't need to be too analytical. See, that's where our mind gets in the way. You know, we want to see God move, and then we want to... Remember, we talked about this before. You can go to any Christian bookstore and probably find 150 books that deal with the gifts and the supernatural movings of the Lord and the gifts. And the Scripture uses maybe 3 to 4 chapters at the most and never explains any of the gifts except for 2 of them because they were misused. Isn't it amazing? You know, we like to know so much. And God just does things. He don't explain a lot. He heals people at times. And he don't sit there and write a book on how he did it. Who cares? He did it. See, we like to know all this stuff. We want to expect God. Why does he do all, you know? And he's not interested in telling us. See, that's the fleshly mind. That's the worldly mind. See, many things in the spirit realm cannot be understood with the natural mind. They are only spiritually discerned. You just know. You are in a different realm. And see, that's what God wants to open us to. We know. We know that we know that we know that certain things are God, and yet if we had to write it on paper and explain it to someone, we couldn't. And it's foolishness to them. Didn't the Scripture say? Paul said, it's the foolishness of preaching that saves people. Not scholarly arguments. Not intellectual arguments with people. It's the foolishness of preaching. When God removes the veil and convicts them that they're sin, that's when people are saved. Not because we've proven anything from the Scripture. You can prove half the people in America believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on the cross, but they're not Christians. But they accept it in their head. Oh yeah, I believe he's the Son of God. The devils believe that and tremble. Don't save them, does it? See, it's what I'm trying to tell you is there's nothing wrong with your intellect. Don't let it get in the way. Don't let it get in the way when God's doing something. Don't stop every time God's doing something and analyze him, because he'll just go on. You don't have time. And he won't explain many things, though. That's where our faith comes in. That's where our trust. That's where our childlikeness. Unless you become as a little child, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What is a little child? In a sense, they're gullible. Once they have shown that you're trustworthy, they believe everything you tell them. In a sense, that's what God wants from us. You believe everything I tell you. You know. And I'll answer what questions need to be asked. Otherwise, just do what I tell you. And move on. Okay. So, when we're walking, not only the peace of God, but see, a part of the peace of God, the peace that we get in hearing from the Lord, is the Spirit bears witness with us. It's the Holy Spirit that not only gives the peace, but he's the one that gives us the knowings. This is right. This is the right thing to do. And we're checked, you know. And see, we're talking about the foundation now. We're not talking about the extraordinary or other means. See, God will use anything. I've had Lord often, because that's a mode he uses with me, speaks to me in dreams at times and shows me things and corrects me and reproves me. I got into a situation years ago and the Lord warned me not to get into the situation. And I just decided to reason it away and ignore the Lord. So in a dream that night, I began to stick my hand toward this fire and it burnt me, and I jumped up and sat up in the bed wide awake. And I said, oh, this is the Lord. So I did not pursue this area anymore. Why? Because Proverbs came to me. You cannot bring fire to your bosom and not be burned. You know, so I took that seriously. But see, if I'd listened the day before, I didn't have to have this. You know, so again, God can use any method. He still can speak in dreams and visions and voices and angels, and I've seen him do them all. But we don't dictate that. God does. And remember I said, if you get extraordinary revelations, you're going to become under extraordinary attack from the enemy. That's what goes along with it. If you want great visions, expect great persecution and great suffering for the Lord. He has no favorites. You know, everybody wants wonderful... You know, it's like someone said, we all want to just go and just reap the corn and pick the corn, the ears of the corn. But nobody wants to shovel manure. Nobody wants to sweat. No one wants to keep the birds away and the bugs away. No one wants to go out in the heat of the day and digger a little bit and dung a little bit. See, but God's very simple. You know, in a sense, you get what you put into things. So people who hear from God pay a price. And if they don't pay a price, one day they will. If he's graced them in certain areas, they will be accountable for the extra things he gives them. So see, nobody gets away with anything. But if we're not faithful to where we're at, it's rare for God to give you anything further. We've got to see this. So we've got to learn each day how to be led by peace and how to be led by the Spirit's witness. Again, until it happens to you, I can sit here and try for 10 years to explain to you what the Spirit's witness is. Yet each one of you know what I'm talking about when it happens. And yet you cannot explain it. You know. You just sense. You know this is God. And yet, again, it's hard to explain. See, the Spirit just tells you. Without even words, you have a knowing. See, that's what we call our spirit, is where God dwells in us and speaks.